Good to see each of you out here this evening. It's good to be in air conditioning this evening. Whether you like the message or not, at least you're cool tonight, okay? Be thankful. Yeah. We're going to talk about something a little bit different tonight. I like to stay in the Gospels. But the Lord kind of led me to do something a little bit different here. You know, sometimes we have ideas in our head about things, and unless we're taught the difference, unless we're taught right, we'll just continue to sometimes have misconceptions, sometimes even be erroneous. And the title of my message tonight is called Who's Who, okay? It's like a Jeopardy category, but this is not Jeopardy. This is biblical truth that we're talking about tonight. And if I were to ask you right now, can you tell me the difference? Is there a difference between the title Hebrews, as far as a people group, Israelites and Jews? Could you tell me there's a difference? Can you tell me what the difference is? Is there one? Sometimes we use these terms interchangeably, and they're not interchangeable, okay? So we're going to take a look tonight at the differences between these three titles, Hebrews, Israelites, and Jews, and I trust that we'll all walk away learning something new, amen? Or maybe it'll just be a refreshment to you, right? Anyway, what we know to be a fact is the Bible, like any good book, starts by laying down a foundation. For anything that's built has to have a solid foundation, okay? God's Word is no different, okay? We must understand some basic concepts before we can build on them, okay? Without an understanding of the beginning of the book, we will never be able to fully understand the things that follow, right? Anyway, Passion for Truth Ministries' Jim Staley has this to say. He says, for 2,000 years, we have all been taught that Israel is the Jewish people and the Jewish people are Israel. He says, this misunderstanding has crippled our ability to truly glean from the Scriptures all that was originally intended. We as believers have lost our mission, purpose, and depth of knowledge of the Scriptures, and it is largely because of not understanding this very important topic. Many have called this teaching the key to understanding the entire Bible. Wow, what a statement. Professor C.A. Totten from Yale says, the very understanding of the difference of the two ancient kingdoms of Israel is the key by which almost the entire Bible becomes intelligible. And I cannot state too strongly that the man who has not yet seen that Israel of the Scriptures is totally distinct, not just the Jewish people, is yet in the very infancy. The mere alphabet of biblical study, and that to this day, the meaning of 7/8 of the Bible is shut to his understanding. Wow. So we're at the point in the Bible now when Jacob's name is changed to Israel. Okay? So I think it's important again to stop for a moment and look at the three groups that I spoke of a minute ago, Hebrews, Israelites, and Jews. Oftentimes, again, if you were to ask just any person, they would probably tell you that they think that these names are interchangeable, okay? But they're not, all right? So let's start out with who were the Hebrew people, okay? Who were the Hebrew people? In the Hebrew Bible, God is referred to as the honorable name, Hashem, thus associating God with the people of Shem. In Genesis 10:21, Shem is called the father of all the children of Eber, meaning the Hebrew people. The word Hebrew means of Eber, or descended from Eber. And that's from Genesis 10:25. And let me just turn there real quick and read that to you. Genesis 10:25. It says, and unto Eber was born two sons. The name of one was Peleg, for in his day was the earth divided, and his brother's name was Joktan. All right. The first person mentioned in the Bible as a Hebrew, who can tell me? Who was the first person ever mentioned as a Hebrew? Abram. Abram. One who had escaped came and reported this to Abram the Hebrew. And that's from Genesis 14:13. I'll share that with you real quick so you won't think that I'm making it up. Hebrew 14:13, it says, and there came one that had escaped and told Abram the Hebrew, for he dwelt in the plain of Mamre, the Amorite, brother of Eshtol, the brother of Aner, and these were confederate with Abram. How about that? How many of you knew that? All right. See, it's a lot of good stuff here this evening. We're just gonna get in. I couldn't give a verse because we're gonna let our fingers do the walking, okay? But it's gonna be a good thing because we're gonna cover some scripture. In fact, let's all turn together to Genesis 12. Genesis 12, and we're going to read verses 1 through 4. It says, now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country, and from thy kindred, and from thy father's house, unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee, and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. Verse 3, and I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So Abram departed, as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. I'd like to take a look at Genesis 17 as well. Let's flip over a few pages. Genesis 17, and we'll look at verses 1 through 7. It says, and when Abram was 90 years old and nine, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am the Almighty God. Walk before me and be thou perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and thee and will multiply thee exceedingly. And Abram fell on his face, and God talked with him, saying, as for me, behold, my covenant is with thee, and thou shalt be a father of many nations. Neither shall thy name any more be called Abram, but thy name shall be Abraham, for a father of many nations have I made. Verse 6, and I will make thee exceedingly fruitful, and I will make nations of thee, and kings shall come out of thee. And I will establish my covenant between me and thee, and thy seed after thee in their generations, for an everlasting covenant to be a God unto thee and to thy seed after thee. You know, the Bible teaches that God set out to bless the world through a single man. His name was Abram. It means father of high places. Because in his day, the people went to the nearest high place to try to get closer to their pagan gods. But his name was changed by God to reflect this promised blessing. His name was changed to Abraham, meaning father of a multitude. Why is he called this? It was because of the promise that he would be the father, both physically and spiritually, of a great many people. And through him, the entire world would be blessed. Galatians 3, verse 26 tells us, so we are right there on the family tree, Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. You know, the physical and spiritual blessings was passed to son Isaac and then Jacob. Now it starts to get a little more complicated. We know that Jacob wrestled with the Messiah and his name was changed to Israel, which means he struggles and prevails with God. He struggles and prevails with God. And that everyone who encounters the Messiah goes through the same name change. Regardless of our ethnicity, our faith, our creed, in Messiah, we take the name of Israel. So we've looked at the Hebrews. Now, let's answer the question, who are the Israelites? Who are the Israelites? Who do you say Israel is? Well, most people say the following. Israel is the Jews, or the country in the Middle East that's always fighting the Arabs. Jacob of the Old Testament, the church, Christians. A lot of people think a lot of different things. Anyway, the word Israel is mentioned the first time in Genesis 22, when God changed Jacob's name to Israel. The Israelites were the descendants of the man Israel. Jacob had 12 sons that became known as the 12 tribes of Israel. This brings us to where we are now in the study. Later on, these 12 tribes will be divided into two kingdoms, with Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Dan, Naphtali, Gad, Asher, Issachar, Zebulun, and Joseph forming the kingdom of Israel, and Judah and Benjamin forming the kingdom of Judah. Israel later falls and is scattered and lost among the nations. Judah also falls, but not scattered or lost. The tribe of Judah, which included Benjamin and others, settled later in Judea and were called Jews. So let's answer the question, who are the Jews? In the Bible, the word Jew means a resident of the land of Judea, regardless of their tribe, race, or religion, or perhaps a member of the tribe of Judah, Judahite. According to the Greek lexicon, in Strong's Exhaustive, when asked, who is Israel, who is a Jew? The Israeli government's Ministry of Foreign Affairs answers. He says the term Israelite is purely biblical. An Israelite is a citizen of Israel, regardless of religion. A Jew is a person anywhere in the world born to a Jewish mother or converted to Judaism, who is thus identified as a member of the Jewish people and religion. The Jewish Almanac concurs, quote, strictly speaking, it is incorrect to call an ancient Israelite a Jew or to call a contemporary Jew an Israelite or a Hebrew. You know, some may think that making a distinction between the Hebrews, the Israelites, and the Jews is splitting hairs. However, I think to truly understand the Bible, one has to understand the differences. To lump all these groups together would result in thinking that the Jews are the chosen people in the Old Testament. Actually, these people are Israel. So let's take a look at Deuteronomy chapter 7, verse 6. Deuteronomy 7, 6. It says, for thou art an holy people unto the Lord thy God. The Lord thy God hath chosen thee to be a special people unto himself above all people that are upon the face of the earth. And in chapter 14, verse 2 of the same book, Deuteronomy 14, 2, again it says, for thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself of all the nations that are upon the earth. You know, the Torah was given to Jewish people. There were 12 tribes of Israel and a mixed multitude from Egypt presented at the foot of Mount Zion. So again, this should be Israel. The Passover that Jesus kept along with other feast days were Jewish feast days. Again, Israel. So let's turn over to Deuteronomy, a few more chapters. Chapter 29. And we're going to look at verses 11 through 15. 29, 11 through 15. Says, your little ones, your wives, and thy stranger that is in thy camp, from the hewer of thy wood unto the drawer of thy water, that thou shouldest enter into the covenant with the Lord thy God, and into his oath which the Lord thy God maketh with thee this day, that he may establish thee today for a people unto himself, and that he may be unto thee a God, as he has said unto thee, and as he has sworn unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob. Neither with you only do I make this covenant and this oath, but with him that standeth here with us this day before the Lord our God, and also with him that is not here with us this day. 16, for ye know how we have dwelt in the land of Egypt, and how we have come through the nations which ye passed by. We're not forgotten here. God makes his covenant with us as Israel, even though we were not physically there. You see, we're part of the house of Israel that divided into two nations, the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Even though they separated, God will rejoin them. In fact, let's go to Jeremiah. Look at Jeremiah chapter 31. Jeremiah 31, and we'll look at verses 31 to 34. I'll give you a second to get there. Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34. It says in verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was an husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts and write it in their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, know the Lord, for they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. We see the plan for reuniting the house of Israel and the house of Judah in Jeremiah. When God says the day will come when he will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah. Anyone who joins them will become part of the children of Israel, just like the mixed multitude that came out of Egypt with the descendants of Jacob. You can see how this eliminates the concept of having different laws for Gentiles and Jews. God has one law for all. It's called the Torah. This is stated in many places. But let me turn to Leviticus real quick, 24:22. Give me 1 second to get there. Leviticus 24:22. Says, you shall have one manner of law, as well for the stranger as for one of your own country, for I am the Lord your God. We can now understand the parables spoken by Messiah in Luke 15 concerning the lost sheep and the prodigal son. Knowing who the two houses are shows us that the lost son is Israel and the son who stayed home is Judah. I'd like to take a second and go to Ezekiel. Let's turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel 37. In Ezekiel chapter 37, it says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones, and caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy unto these bones, and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Verse 5, thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and ye shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you, and I will bring up flesh upon you, and cover you with skin, and put breath in you, and you shall live, and you shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded, and I prophesied. There was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above, but there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind, prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied, as he commanded me. And the breath came into them, and they lived. And they stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Verse 11, then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, and our hope is lost. We are cut off from our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And ye shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves, and shall put my spirit in you, and ye shall live, and I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. The word of the Lord came again unto me, saying, verse 16, moreover, thou son of man, take thee one stick and write upon it for Judah and for the children of Israel, his companions. Then take another stick and write upon it for Joseph, the stick of Ephraim, and for all the house of Israel, his companions, and join them one to another into one stick, and they shall become one in thine hand. Verse 18, and when the children of thy people shall speak unto thee, saying, wilt thou not show us what thou meanest by these? Say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the stick of Joseph, which is in the hand of Ephraim, and the tribes of Israel, his fellows, and will put them with him, even with the stick of Judah, and make them one stick, and they shall be one in mine hand. Verse 20. And the sticks therein thou writest shall be in thine hand before their eyes. And say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I will take the children of Israel from among the heathens, whither they be gone, and will gather them on every side, and bring them into their own land. 22, and I will make them one nation in the land upon the mountains of Israel, and one king shall be king to them all. And they shall be no more two nations, neither shall they be divided into two kingdoms any more at all. Verse 23, neither shall they defile themselves any more with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them, so shall they be my people, and I will be their God. And David, my servant, shall be king over them, and they all shall have one shepherd. They shall also walk in my judgments and observe my statutes and do them. And they shall dwell in the land that I have given unto Jacob, my servant, wherein your fathers have dwelt. And they shall dwell therein, even they and their children, and their children's children forever. And my servant David shall be their prince forever. Verse 26, moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them, and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. My tabernacle also shall be with them. Yea, I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Finally, verse 28, and the heathen shall know that I, the Lord, do sanctify Israel, when my sanctuary shall be in the midst of them forevermore. What a joy it is to read God's word, is it not? We've seen that God developed a people for himself that he called chosen. They were chosen to receive instructions from God, like his Sabbath, his feast, and their customs, which all teach the instructions for having life. This set of instructions is called the Torah, the first five books of Scripture written by who? Moses, absolutely. They were given all these things so that the rest of the world might see God in them and join with them to partake of the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the promises, and that all might become members of the commonwealth of Israel. Now, you know, I stopped there because if you were here for our Wednesday night study, we looked at how Jesus came and he cursed the fig tree, but really that was kind of part of a bigger picture. What he was really cursing and what he was denouncing was the Jewish temple, the system of religion that had failed. You see, he recognized some truths that many people were blinded to. I tell you that it's just exciting when we can study and we can learn more about biblical truth and about history. Real history is not, this is true. This is not made up, right? Anyway, God established the two houses of Israel and he will reunite them. No nation, people, or anything else will replace the chosen people of God. The house of Israel has been scattered for so long and they have lost their identity and do not know who they are. But God is calling to the lost sheep, the house of Israel. The true bride of God is composed of those who keep his commandments of God and have the testimony of Messiah. The two houses of Israel are Israelites who, like Ruth, choose to say, "You people shall be my people and your God my God." When we talk about who's who, again, we looked at the difference between Hebrews, Israelites, Jews, and we recognize that the names are not interchangeable. What we do look forward to is the day to where everyone who is saved under the blood of Jesus Christ will be together. And really what's important today is that we be bold in our witness to share this truth of who Jesus is with all people groups. In fact, I remember when I had the opportunity to go to Israel with my parents. I think it was back in 07. It's illegal to proselytize there as Christians. But my parents thought it was so important that, I guess I can use the word smuggle, they smuggled Christian Bibles in and they distributed those to folks that they could because it was that important for people to hear the Word of God, the truth. There are so many lost all over the world. We think about it at home here in our communities and our work centers, but there are so many people out there that need this Jesus that we speak of. And if it's that important to us, then surely we should do something with that. So what I encourage you this evening, as we're going to wrap up early this evening, what I encourage you is that continue to learn and take what you know and apply it. We talk about that a lot in Sunday school. We talk about the knowledge that we gain from our studies, from the things that we learn from Sunday school, from Bible study, from pastors preaching. We learn a lot of stuff, a lot of good stuff, a lot of truth. But if we're unwilling to take that and see people from the cross the way Jesus sees them as utterly lost and hopeless, if we can't develop that same sort of compassion to our fellow man, then are we reflecting our Lord Jesus? I tell you that as I tell me that, there's no greater time than today to engage people. People are hurting all around. Oftentimes people look like they're not, but they are, because this is life that we live. So I encourage you, if you don't know how to share your faith, we've talked about this before, Romans Road, there's a lot of different resources at our disposal to where we can tell people about Jesus. I know I'm preaching to the choir here this evening, but I need to hear it as much as I think you need to hear it. I need to remind me that there are people that are dying daily and going to an awful place called hell, separated from God. And did I do my best today in sharing my Christian witness? So I'm not here to beat anyone up about it. I'm just here to tell me, as I tell you, that we have a mission. And don't lose sight of that mission. All right. Any questions on our look tonight of Hebrews versus Israelites versus Jews? Very good. You know, God loves all of us. He sure does. We what a privilege it is to serve the risen Lord. Out of all the potentials of growing up and whatever, we have the privilege of serving our King, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. So I just challenge you to let today, let tomorrow be a fresh day. Reprioritize, refocus, and make a difference out there for our Lord Jesus Christ. All right, we'll go ahead and close in prayer. Father, our message was short tonight, but I pray that it pleases you, that we learn something from your word. Father, my heart is heavy tonight because of the world that we live in. And we're commanded not to be part of it, to be in it, but not of it. And Father, to see the reckless decisions that are made in our government, to see the reckless decisions that are made sometimes in our homes, in our neighborhoods. Father, I challenge me as I challenge my family here tonight that we continue to stay focused on you, that we strive daily to love our Jesus more, to serve him more, to know him more. And Father, help us to make some kind of difference in this life. We thank you for your word. We thank you that there is absolute truth in a world that we live in today where it seems that everyone has their own truth. We thank you that there are absolutes out there. Help us to align your word with our life as we go through whatever situation, whatever problem, whatever thing comes up, that we instinctively rely on your word to help us through whatever situation. After all, that's part of what it's there for. Father, let us not be ashamed in our witness, because we recognize that Jesus said that if we're ashamed, then you'll be ashamed of us. We just want to honor you with all that we say, all that we do. So take us on our way. Remind us this evening as we go through our night of prayer and into tomorrow. Help us to be focused on our prayer for our church family. Help us be focused on our prayer for our government locally and nationally. And Father, it just seems overwhelming sometimes, the prayer needs that are out there. But if anything that we've learned from you is that Jesus took so much time while he was on the earth to pray. So what an example that should be for us. So help us to pray. Help us to pray effectively. Help us to pray fervently. Help us just to be effective in all that we do. So we thank you for all that you do. Thank you for this time again. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.